If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and oneness of the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is Ascension, Divine Harmonics, and the Return to Oneness. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward in your integrated awareness. And be present wherever you are in the room. And just draw your attention inward. As you call yourself forward in your multidimensional continuum, your life stream that has neither beginning nor end, that has no division in reality between that who you and what you are, and anything in creation, you are intrinsically one with every single atom of existence. What differentiates you is your point of view. Your choice of perspective or resonance of awareness. So the particles and waves that constitute the light being that you are at this moment ascending just like a musical harmonic scale. And as you flow in and out of the quantum field, manifesting your particular point of view, which is soul awareness or soul travel, the atoms of the quantum field rearrange themselves to outpicture your particular resonance, your particular state of vibration, and your focus of attention. The entire universe rearranges itself to accommodate your picture of reality. Isn't that awesome? I mean, contemplate that. The entire universe rearranges itself to accommodate your picture of reality. So again, take a deep breath and consciously experience your life stream, the Sutratma, pouring as a column of golden white light right down through your crown chakra from the very highest point of God essence that you can possibly imagine. See it flowing down the continuum of your multidimensional awareness. Ride it down through your body, all the way down through your feet, and shoot it down into the soul star in the center of the earth. And imagine that you're standing on a grassy field with your feet barefooted and planted solidly on that green grass. Smell the grass, if you will. Feel the earth Perhaps it's warmed by the sun. Perhaps it's a little damp with the dew. But consciously feel your feet planted on the earth. And experience the energy in your body. It kind of feels like it's sun. Well, just imagine feeling your insides. Begin with your feet. Feel inside your feet. And just ride that energy up your body until you have a sense of feeling yourself as energy. And now make a conscious intention to bring divine attunement and alignment with your personal self in this dimension and your divine omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. That part of you that is part of everything can move in awareness to any state and has the virtual power of the God intelligence within every atom of your being. Realize that every atom in your physical body alone is a mini replica of the macrocosm. The symbol of the atom is replicated throughout creation. Whether you're looking at a solar system, a galaxy, whatever you are looking at, it's simply the expansion of the form that the atom takes. And that point of light within every atom, that photon, is the light of what sometimes we call the Christ. But you could call it the light of the divine Atma itself. That is the focalizing point that we might call the God essence, resident in all creation. Now realize that you are a cell within the body. If this being that we call, quote, God had a body, that you would be a cell in that body. But a cell that holographically contains the whole within that singular cell. So that every one of us is a macrocosm and a microcosm, holographically indwelling as the light particle of all of existence. So that as we keep expanding our divine awareness, we get to the point that we awaken within the hearts of all beings. Some of you already have the ability to attune to and receive communication from trees, animals, birds, plants, grass, other beings, both incarnate and disincarnate. And this is part of your developing that sensitivity that can communicate through the heart, the language of the heart. And when your own heart opens and you become in kinship with all life, you'll find that everything begins to communicate to you silently, heart to heart. And there's a divine rapport that actually ushers you into a deeper state of being. You awaken to an entirely new relationship with life, one that doesn't have the scaffolding of fear and the sequestering that we implement when we close off part of our availability to certain people, states, environments, and things. We learn to be at home wherever we are. We learn to be at peace, regardless of what's going on around us. We learn to live in the citadel of our own inner being, in complete attunement with all life. Oh, yeah, we lose it from time to time. That's part of the process. You know, we all have our days when we feel more particularly attuned, and days when we feel less attuned, and things that still rattle our cage and throw us off kilter. And that's the time that you practice self-compassion. Because even in your, what you might judge or see as a failure, you are creating a harmonic chord, a resonance, a melodic refrain that enables other melodic refrains to segue into that melody. So that even your dissonance or your so-called sour chords, sour notes, are ultimately going to be part of a perfect harmony within all of creation. So the best position is to realize that we are entering this new earth, this new vibration, this higher resonance, like a virgin. We have never been in this particular state of consciousness, in this particular accelerated ascension, in this particular hybrid race that we call the human, ever before. This is a new thing. No one really knows the full scope of it, because the human brain has not been designed to intake this particular understanding. But let me lead you into an experience here. As you take another deep breath and you experience the flow of spirit down to the top of your head, many of you will feel it like goosebumps flowing over your head, down your shoulders and arms, maybe down your spine. You may feel your body start to rock back and forth. That's the sound current of the living God moving within you, the living word. And that is the light. The light is your conscious awareness. And the sound is your connection to the all that is. And they're within you all the time. God lives in you as you. Yep, warts and all. Only the God part doesn't even see warts. It only sees itself as absolute divine perfection. That's your truth. You don't need fixing. You don't need anything. You are indistinguishable from God. So in this ascension, in my experience and that of many people that I'm working with, the eyesight is really affected. And again, I've mentioned that the eyes actually don't see. The eye, actually inside the center of your skull, which is really your soul's eye, or the eye of God, right in the center of your skull, that's the part that sees. And it's Deva Drishti, it's the God sight, the God vision, or soul awareness. That's what sees, and the brain interprets. The brain is simply a receptor, an energetic interpreter for the mind, which exists as an energy field outside of the body. So in a sense, you are in your mind, and your mind is in you, so that it is experienced internally, but is actually an expansion field that has unlimited expandability, if you will. It has no limits. And another term for the mind is the soul, or jivi, as it would be called in Sanskrit, the individualized extension of the spirit or atma. So your eyesight, which has been calibrated to interpret things in terms of differentiation and duality, is now being unified, so that you are going to be seeing things more and more from the unified awareness or perspective of the essential oneness of all life, which I think you initially began to see the goodness in people. That's how it actually practically manifests. You start to notice the light, the beauty, the goodness. And the more you're attuned to that light and love and goodness within your own nature, the more you'll tend to see it in others. And the eyesight, I think many of you have, like I do, maybe 20 pairs of glasses all over your house. Well, I don't think I have 20, but I think I have probably about 13 pairs of glasses all over the house, because my eyesight differs by the day. Some days, when I'm sitting in my living room and I'm working with someone, have you had this experience where suddenly it looks like a white mist comes between you and that person? And pretty soon it gets brighter and brighter until you start to see through that person. Have you had that experience yet? Well, if you haven't, it's coming. And no, you're not losing it. It's part of the ascension process. As the vibrations begin to resonate at a higher and higher frequency, you begin to see through what before looked like solid matter. It starts with being able to see the outline around, for example, trees or mountains. I'll give you two exercises here. The first one is put your two forefingers together about a half an inch apart, preferably against a non-patterned background. Let your eyes go out of focus. It's good to do this when you get up to go to the bathroom at night. You know, you're kind of half out of your body anyway. You'll begin to see the light field between your fingertips. I'm looking at mine right now, and I'm seeing golden light all around my fingers and golden white light between my two fingertips. And when I look a little deeper, I see a darker cord between the two of them. And practice looking at things with your eyes unfocused until you begin to see the light around various things. You're beginning to extend your capacity to see into the other dimensions of consciousness, which is part of the ascension process. The other thing is, when you're looking out the window on a beautiful sunny day, or standing, as I often do, out in the grass looking at the sun with closed eyes, and just connecting to the great simple sun hierarchy and grounding myself into the earth. Later, when you finish that process and you're just sitting perhaps in the grass or just looking out your own window, looking at the blue sky, unfocus their eyes and you'll begin to see the prana, which first of all looks like little dark spots that start to dance really fast in your field of vision. And then they become very, very bright. I see them with my eyes closed when I'm standing in front of the sun, and I see them with my eyes open. And those are the materia lucida, as they're called in the Agni Yoga teachings, or the vitality globules, as they're called in theosophy, or simply prana. This is the life force that emanates from the sun and causes the growth of plants and us and everything. This is the life force that comes from the sun. And in this way, you are beginning to train yourself to look beyond the obvious. Another exercise is to take a photograph, preferably of your master or Jesus or a teacher that you highly revere, a divine being. And again, look at it with total focus, well, total intention, and slightly askew focus. If you look really hard and try to force it, the subtle energies tend to solidify. You don't see as clearly as if you slightly go unfocused with your eyesight, just slightly. Kind of just chill and go back inside yourself and just be with that picture. You'll notice that after a while, the face starts to change. It may animate, it may turn into black and white, like a photographic negative. But at some point, it will turn into brilliant white light. Many times I've had Sai Baba or Jesus or John Roger, my particular line of masters that I work with, I will see them come out of their pictures and begin to relate to me. They will actually externalize a form, which is created by the intensity of, in this case, my devotion. Because Sai Baba said that the Lord takes the form of your devotion. Now, if you don't have a form that you focus on, the Lord will take the form of light. You will see an inner light. Sometimes it looks like a golden sun. Sometimes a blue pearl. Sometimes, as in the case of the mystical traveler, it will come as a very vivid purple. And that's the formless presence of the master, which is always, bear this in mind, the master is always a form of your own self. Because there's only one here. Only one appearing as the many, and that is the beloved, and you are the one beloved. That's the great mystery, that one appeared to take on the form of the many. Why? To experience love, to give and receive love. So the whole purpose of human life is to get into attunement with the beloved that you are and flow that love to everything you say, think, and do. That puts you in the state of absolute oneness and incredible joy. Oh, it's a silent joy that percolates behind the backdrop of everything in your life. And every time you're not feeling it, it's because some part of you has closed off from yourself or one of your many selves that looks like somebody outside of you. Some part has closed off from that. What closes it off? Fear. 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 False evidence appearing real. And fear always has companions, which would be the belief in scarcity, the belief and the need to protect yourself, the need to, in any way, shape, or form, separate out from that loving. And when you follow those tendencies that come up from time to time, you will find that they're always connected to a fear. What do you do with that? Well, Jesus in the Course in Miracles said to give the fear to him. Before it takes root, before you begin to host and entertain it, give it over quickly to the Lord. And as you do that and just let it go, don't process it, don't entertain it for a second, just release it with a breath to the Lord, and you can step free through grace. That's the easy way. The old way is to think you have to process and work out the karma and figure out why you're feeling it. Forget it. That's the old paradigm. Our path now is a path of ease and grace. You're not meant to have hardships. You don't deserve hardships. You've never done anything wrong, ever, because you're God. How can God do anything wrong? So all these beliefs that you have something wrong with you, or you have to correct yourself, or you have to grow, or you have to evolve, or you have to whatever, this is all so much nonsense. If you've never left the heart of God, you've never been here in any real sense, if all of this is maya, samsara, dream, illusion, then you've never done any of the dream, you know, the dream actions you thought you did anyway. So grace is simply awakening beyond the doings of the form. It's also, according to Jesus, remembering, this is his definition of true forgiveness, remembering only the love that you gave and the love that you received, and forgetting all the rest. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, wow, I don't actually remember just the love I gave and the love I received. I tend to remember the bad things. And so that means I haven't really offered them in that state of true forgiveness. So, as you study the Course in Miracles, which I know quite a few of you are, realize that it's like you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and the Holy Spirit actually reminds you when you diverge into wrong-mindedness. When you start to think with the ego, the Holy Spirit will jerk your chain, will remind you, and then you just course correct. You just choose the loving. You just move back on course with the flow of the love that you are. And you don't buy into the fact that you have anything that you need to be sorry about or remorseful for or chastise and judge yourself for. So walking in this new ascension frequency, this ascending scale of divine harmonics, is, I believe, it's a minute-by-minute choosing to walk in grace and to maintain your divine connection. I had a really challenging last 2 weeks. I was part of a team that literally was saving the life of a person that I happen to live with, that I love very much, who was gravely and critically ill, and through really divine intervention, is on the road now to recovery. But I found myself during that process not feeling the bliss that I normally feel, kind of feeling, well, when I traced it back, it was fear. You know, every unhappy feeling and sentiment, if you trace it back to its source, is always coming from the buying into false evidence appearing real. And what I had done as a sensitive and an empath was that I had bought into the drama that was being played out with his sickness and this what looked like a person getting ready to leave their body, and the hospital, and the emergency room, and the whole, you know, nine yards. So I thought, well, I'll use this as a meditation, because I'm always teaching people about how to stay divinely connected and how to stay in those realms of bliss. So it was very hard. I won't kid you. It was very difficult for me to find a happy place in the drama that was taking place around me. There actually were days when there was no happy place, okay? It was just, you know, not a nice scene going down. It was a dream. I kept reminding myself that God didn't create illness, therefore illness doesn't exist. This person has never left the heart of God. This is all Maya. This is all illusion. This too shall pass. So when you find yourself in a similar position, which goodness, so many people have in the last 3 or 4 years, my heavens, with the earth changes and the stuff that's been going down on the planet, so many people have had this test. And it's funny, because when you're right in the middle of something, the disaster, the death, the crises, it's like you're in an altered state of consciousness that is attuned to the divine. It's like you're so connected to the divine, because you need moment-by-moment guidance. That was my experience. But then, you know, after the immediate crisis is over and the funeral is over and everything is kind of like back to where it was before the event, then you feel the impact of the loss and the grief, and it's like you crash back down into those lower states of consciousness. So I'm suggesting that you work with yourself and find your own little route to your happy place. You know, each of us has a happy place that we can perch, we can nest in. It'll be different, I suppose, for each one of us. I find my list of things that normally lift me and make me happy didn't work for me this time. So I think they evolve and change as we do. I don't think they remain static any more than anything else in consciousness does. Everything in spirit is vibrant. I call it a dynamic piece. And it's active, and it's always creative. So the more you move into the attunement of your higher states of consciousness, the more you work with your own particular way to stay connected, to stay in the bliss, and not to judge yourself when you fall out, because as I said, we're practicing this. We're becoming conscious co-workers, divine co-workers and co-creators with divine creative intelligence. The formless divine creative consciousness, the generator of all dimensions that we call God, creates through our human mind, our human consciousness. We are the means through which new creation is birthed. So there isn't any roadmap, I think, that works for everybody. I believe that we each are living scripture, and that God's secret messages for us individually are written upon our heart, are written within every cell of our being. We are encoded with a perfect divine blueprint and template to externalize our perfect divine presentation. We are the gifting into time and space of the beloved. And that's unique, and that's precious. And that's why we can't copy another person or try to model another person's reality. That's why I often start our seminars by asking you questions, so that you can find your own unique path and way that God has created for you. Even entering the secret place of the Most High is a tiny little pinpoint opening, I'm quoting Jesus now, through Glenda Green, and her wonderful book, Love Without End. And also Drunvalo wrote a beautiful book on the entering the sacred heart space. There's a tiny little pinpoint of light that is the opening into your own sacred heart. But it's different for each person. Nobody can tell you where. You have to find it yourself. But when you enter that place, that is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke of that is within you. That's the secret place of the Most High, where you dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. What is that? That is the brooding, hovering presence of the Spirit of the living God that you are. That's the Atma, that's the divine Shekinah, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Comforter, that's the Paraclete, not Keet, but Paraclete, the one that comes along and supports you, comes alongside you, within you, and supports your divine walk. That's the enabler, the helper, the one that is the inner master, inner teacher. That is the shadow of the Almighty that hovers over your life, that tents and tabernacles over your being, so that you walk as an anointed Christed one. That's what Christ means. It means the anointed one. Messiah is the anointed one. So you live in the tabernacle of the Most High, when you find a sacred place within your heart. You might like to read the book by Drunvalo about the heart. I don't remember the exact title, but it's the only one by him about the heart. And he was taught the language of the heart by dwelling with a kogi, or koji, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, the kogi, I think it is, which is a Colombian tribe, which, to my knowledge, Drunvalo is maybe one of the very rare, well, he's part Indian, but non-indigenous persons who's ever actually been able to speak to them directly. And he found, through externalization of his body into the body of a woman in Colombia, apparently he has a lifetime in a parallel reality where he is a Kogi himself. And he shares that story in that book. So entering that sacred place of the Most High is where you're going to find that sense of absolute protection, security, joy. It opens into an entirely new experiential reality within yourself, like you had entered into a magic kingdom. Truly, it is a magic kingdom, right inside your own biosphere. That's what's so awesome, is that everything we seek and are looking for has always been inside us as a particular frequency band of harmonic resonance, which we could call the chord of the living love. And when you're in that vibrational wavelength of living love, you can access this magic. And that's what makes a mystic live in an entirely different experiential reality. A mystic is one that dwells in and as the beloved, in that state of divine intimacy and communion. That's a true holy communion. That's it. So you just hang out with yourself. We all know where we need to go to find peace and quiet, comfort. Some of you like to go out and be in the forest or by the seashore or up in a mountain. But I'll tell you from my own many, many years of being a mystic and a meditator, is that I find that all the time by myself. I have found that place where I can be in a crowd and I'm absolutely alone. And you know, you do develop that ability, so you're not sensitive to sounds, and things don't throw you out of kilter, and you don't have to separate yourself out to be with the beloved. But probably initially you need to start with a regular meditational practice where you have some quiet time to talk to God. And if you're kind of new at this, do that. Just literally talk out loud to God. I think it's good to have a picture so you have a place to talk to, focus upon. But that's not necessary either, but it helps. But again, find your own way to connect with your divine self and to maintain that connection. And as I've said before, when you are connected, you will feel your heart expand and you will feel a sense of kinship and oneness with all life. Now, collectively, we are all part of what is called the ascension process, which is the return to the awareness of our oneness. So everything that before seemed to be outside of us is now being reconciled within us. So that the sense of being a man or a woman becomes reconciled into a sense of wholeness and balance. Or you're equally male and female, and there's no dichotomy in that. You're not too yin and you're not too yang. You're both. And the same thing with the brain. The brain is becoming unified. So it's no longer the left brain and the right brain. You're having a joining of both lobes of the brain so that they communicate in perfect harmonic resonance. And everything in the whole body is becoming silicone-based and crystalline and beautiful. It's vibrating at a very, very high rate. And you may not feel that way. I mean, my friend came to see me, whom I haven't seen for about 16 years, and she said my whole top of my body was totally dissolved. She saw just light. There was no head. There was no torso. She said the lower part of my body she could see a little bit. There was some light there that looked at, like a human form. But the whole torso on up, there was nothing there. There was just light. So I certainly didn't feel like I was not there. But you begin to get feedback from people as you move into these states of higher frequency where you're literally becoming light itself. And we're moving into those light bodies. They've been, you know, a work in process for many, many, many incarnations. For many, 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 thousands of years, okay? So this isn't something you're consummating in one lifetime. This has been something that we as the collective Messiah, as the awakening and lightning ones, we're the ones that have been working on this for a long time. In some cases, for the last 18 and a half million years. For some, it's been the last 26,000 years. For some, maybe the last 2,500 years or the last 10,000, because everything progresses in cycles within the lower levels of time, space, and duality and being and becoming. So what's happening now on the Earth is that the physical plane Earth is overlapping with the next dimension, which would be the astral plane. And that's what we all call the fourth dimension. And there's duality there, yeah, because you're still working in the template of the illusion, really. And for many people during the dimension, we're being given to understand that this is what is appearing in as those orbs. This evening we watched an incredible video done by Patty Greer that you can watch portions of it on YouTube, and you can actually buy the DVDs, which I did, in which orbs are sentient beings that actually respond telepathically. And there was this woman in Australia that has developed this incredible rapport and relationship with the orbs so that they will change color, they will move in formation, they will come and create phenomena in her home and wherever. They have healed her livestock, they have healed people that have been brought onto her property. And They've taken different shapes at her request. They are so beautiful. They take your breath away. And these are sentient beings. Baba said they're spirits. They're appearing in now from the other dimensions. And according to the communication that this woman in Australia has received, they are actually very highly evolved beings that have come to assist humanity at this time. That's their mission. That's their purpose. And they've come to help humanity through this dimensional shift. But they're so beautiful. Oh, my heavens. I know someone took a photograph of the orbs in the street in Puttaparthi, which is the little village right outside the ashram of Sai Baba in Andhra Pradesh in India. And the whole street was just covered with orbs. And Sai Baba said that those were spirits that had come to see him. And I noticed in one photograph of Sai Baba there were incredibly bright golden orbs that were radiating light all around him. And when I asked him inwardly what they were, he said those are the great Mahapurushas, the great siddhas and saints that come and sit with him. So apparently we appear like that in a certain dimension of our manifestation. And that's a beautiful thing to contemplate. Another amazing thing was that there was a group of people that were in Wiltshire in England researching the crop circles, experiencing the crop circles. And they watched the orbs actually making the crop circles. And the first thing that happened when the orbs went over the field was that there was like a written script, like a telepathic encodement in star language or extraterrestrial glyphs, whatever you want to call them. Senzar is actually what it is, Solex Mal, that's the extraterrestrial language. Solex Mal, I think is what it's called. And Senzar is the language that the masters use in the higher dimensions. Anyway, they laid out, briefly, an encoded message on the crop field, and then as they flew over back and forth, the circles and the patterns started to appear. So obviously they're created by these orbs, and a very fascinating account that was witnessed by, two separate groups of people. Excuse me. There were three Frenchmen and two people from Belgium, and they saw orange, large orange globes of light, three of them, that began to take the head and shape of a humanoid. So the head and the two arms and the two legs, so that the orb itself apparently is the manifested body of a light being. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that's actually been reported by anyone, where the orb actually manifested as a light humanoid form. So these are extremely important, I think, to begin to catch. You know, when you take photographs, if you ask for the orbs to appear, they will. They're eager to not inflict. I noticed how they didn't enter this woman's house, although they came all around her house. They would wait outside the door. They never invaded her private space until she made it clear that she wanted them to come into the house. Only then did they come in. So obviously these are very, very highly evolved, very respectful beings that will not violate your consciousness, that will not spook you or scare you, that will not inflict themselves upon you. Personally, I believe that there are selves, our own higher selves, coming back to help our projections here in this time-space continuum. I believe ultimately you'll find out that everything is yourself. Everything you thought was outside of yourself is really yourself. So that's another thing to contemplate. So this is a marvelous time because we are finally, after eons of work, we're beginning to see the actual merger of these dimensions. And that's what the ascension is. And as we transition through them, enjoy. know, enjoy the ride. It's never going to be like it was before. It's never going to be awful, dog-eat-dog, grungy, oh dear, another day I have to do the 9-to-5 thing. No. We are entering into a time when more and more of humanity is going to be involved in creating a new form of community where we co-share everything. I saw a project where people were gathering in the community. I think it was in the Netherlands or somewhere. And they were all creating gardens. And they were planting things that the other people didn't plant, so that each person planted something different in their garden and the plot in the back of their yard. And then they all shared what they had grown together. That's the idea. Cooperation and sharing. Those are the two keynotes of this new earth that we're moving into, the new paradigm. It's all about joining, cooperating, sharing. And eventually we won't have... Oh, you want to hear something really interesting? The orbs would come in whenever there was a paranormal program on their television that the woman in Australia was watching. But the minute that the commercials came on, they would leave. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like the higher consciousness will not support our commercial way of dealing with each other. You know, that's really, you know, the old paradigm. Because whenever the ego is involved, there's always a personal benefit, a goal, a mercenary objective, something that's underlying the motive. And we could really call this old commercial mentality the old way we've done business, where we use people literally to serve our own personal agendas. We're seeing that as the old paradigm. Because only the ego operates with such an underlying motive. You know, it's the part of you that always wants to know, what's in it for me? How much will you pay me? What will you do for me in exchange? And Sai Baba describes the contrast between the soul and the ego, I think, really well. He says that love lives by giving and forgiving, and the ego by getting and forgetting. So the very nature of our higher consciousness, our true self, our soul, as individualized God essence, is to serve. In fact, if you want to know who is in contact with their divine nature, look for that person who is selflessly engaged in serving others. For they have already made that connection and that shift and have ascended into the new earth paradigm. It's a moving of your spiritual inner awareness beyond fear into the loving heart. That is the new earth. That is the ascension. That is the entering into the divine harmonics, which will bring a complete awakening to the oneness that's always been. And that's really what it's all about. And it's happening within you. You don't have to go and study it, whether you know anything about it consciously or not. This is what's happening to every atom in existence, everywhere, everything. The whole universe is moving into a new melody. It's going to sing a new song. And, gosh, aren't you glad to be alive right now on the planet? I sure am. So contemplate your transparency. As you sit with yourself, visualize yourself dissolving into pure light. And see your beautiful radiance. See all of the linear definition of your body just melt. And see the rays, the great rays that come up from your own innermost being. See them spill out in all directions. And feel the all the all-pervasive absolute that you are, that Sat Chidananda, that being, awareness, and bliss, that is your all-pervasive divine beingness, birthless, deathless, eternally pure, indistinguishable from God. Like wetness in the water, like sweetness in honey, like air in the atmosphere. Thus you exist. Inexplicable and intrinsically and indistinguishable from God. Living from that state is the return to oneness. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Anahi. Deep breath. Abharaga Vasu, in universal brotherhood and love, I bid you God evening, God day, Adonai.